Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we are going to continue our study of Paper 32, The Evolution of the Local Universe. And we're going to take a little side trip here at the beginning a little bit because I want to go over something one of our people were talking about a little bit earlier. So let's say a quick prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight that we might study this wonderful revelation, that we might share it with others and learn from it and be ready for the mansion world. We thank you for the opportunity to do this. We thank you for all those who listen to us. Pray that you'll open our hearts and minds today. And we say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, last week, Gary, that wonderful man, asked a question, and I didn't have time to go into it good, so I'm going to go into it right now. Remember, Gary, you were asking about the boat building of Jesus?
Yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, in paper 129, The Later Adult Life of Jesus, it talks about this. And when I was going through the Jesus paper, adding pictures, I put a bunch of pictures about this in this paper, paper 129, that you might want to take a look at. And some of these are the maps in here. First of all, one of them is Capernaum, where Jesus actually built the boats. Okay. And actually that picture's in there twice, and it's got several pictures of the remains of the village of Capernaum, including the remains of the synagogue that was built during Jesus's time, and Peter's house, according to tradition. This was Simon Peter's house, and there's a bunch of pictures in here you can see here, and it's also got, guess what it's got? The boat they dug up in 1986 out in the waters right off of Capernaum, and they believe this is one of the boats that was either built by Jesus or built after the format that Jesus came up with, because until that time, they weren't steaming the boards to bend them.
I don't see anything steamed here.
Do you see that picture there? See how those boards are curved? The boards are curved on the bottom of this boat. Can you see that picture?
Mm-hmm.
See how they're curved upwards on both sides?
Yeah.
They steam the boards to get them to do that. And that was an invention of Jesus.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So, and they've got this. And then they got the plaque that's out on the outside of the museum that this is in there, and it tells about it and that sort of thing. But it has little things that I've added in. It says this boat does show bent boards that are apparently made by the steaming method. Thus, the boat may have been produced during or since the time of Jesus, if not made by himself. Hmm. All right. Isn't that interesting? And it's got some other stuff. It's also got a chart here of all the different types of wood that was made in this boat. So it's kind of interesting to read. All right.
And Jesus made boats without steaming them. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we made rafts, you know.
Yeah. Well, they made most of the boats back then were flat bottom boats. Okay. Mm-hmm. Until Jesus came along, they didn't know how to curve the wood to build the boats, right? And anything that was not curved, they brought the boards together and literally stuck them together to make it look curved, okay? Mm. So that's why this is so important. And this is, I think I have it up here at the very top of it when we start talking about it. This was... says Jesus worked with Zebedee only a little more than 1 year. In that time, he created a new style boat and established entirely new methods of boat building, making boats. By superior technique and greatly improved methods of steaming the boards, Jesus and Zebedee began to build boats of a superior, very superior type. craft which were far more safe for sailing the lake than were the other types of boats. All right. And then Zebedee kept making these boats after Jesus left. And he sent the royalties. He invested the royalties for him. And that's how Jesus's mother ended up with a house to live in after Jesus died. Okay. Because his sons invested the money and bought a small house for him. And they rented the house until she came to live there. Isn't that interesting? And that's in that all this is in paper 129 in our version of the book. And that's this fourth version down here, the under our study versions link. It's this one that says BI, your Answer Book Standardized. It's the one with the blue background, and it's in white background too, but it's the ones with the pictures. Okay. All right, let's go back to evolutionary the universe organization.
31.
Right. Yeah, 32, paper 32. All right. So you can go look at that when you have time, Gary.
Okay, dokie.
All right.
When I'm not sideways.
When you're not sideways, that's right.
So what page is this?
This is page 358, section 2. And Diane, would you take the first one?
2, universe organization. The Creator's sons are preceded in universe organization by the power directors and other beings originating in the third source and center. From the energies of space, thus previously organized, Michael, your Creator's son, established the inhabited realms of the universe of Nebadon, and ever since has been painstakingly devoted to their administration. From pre-existent energy, these divine sons materialize visible matter, project living creatures, and with the cooperation of the universe presence of the infinite spirit, create a diverse retinue of spirit personalities.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the power directors who come to the location before Jesus even gets there starts working on this stuff, basically, right? And other beings with the power directors who are all originating in the third source and center, the infinite spirit, right? And so they do all this work until Jesus shows up. And then after Jesus and the local universe mother spirit shows up, they take over, but they stay on to help them organize things. Something else I wanted to show y'all tonight. I'm going to stop the share here for a second. And I'm going to share another screen here. Share. Go over here and minimize this. Now, do you see, y'all see a blue screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the destiny and all that on it, the postulated I am. Mm-hmm. You'll notice across the top of this, it has the 7 known triodities. Do you see that? Those little triangles?
Mm-hmm.
2 of these triodities are related to this. And if you can see this second one, let me see if I can get up here close enough so I can read it, because it's not on my screen. Number 2, power pattern triodity. And this is the Father, Son, Paradise, and the conjoint actor. Guess why it's the Father, Son, Paradise, and the conjoint actor? Because it's the combination of the Father and the Son and the Creator sons, right? And Paradise, because Paradise controls what? All material, everything, right? Material and gravity. And Paradise does that through the conjoint actor. And guess who else? Right down here.
The Trinity of Energy.
Infinity. You see that one?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right. And that is the Father and Spirit, right? The infinite spirit, Paradise again, and the unqualified absolute. Guess why it's the unqualified absolute? It's got to get the matter, right? So it's the unqualified absolute that pulls the matter out, the primordial matter, and then the power directors or the mechanical physical controllers take over and the power centers step in. This is where this all comes from. And that's because of these two triodities. Make sense? Work? All right, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let me get back over here and reshare my other screen. The reason I want to bring that up is in this paragraph, in the paragraphs that follow, it talks about first the originating third source and center. That's the conjoint actor, right? All right, so that's involved the father-son connection, plus father and infinite son, plus the creator sons through the son. Okay, you with me still? All right, and then we also have the infinite spirit steps in and helps with the projection of the matter through the unqualified absolute. And the infinite spirit brings all those associated personalities that have to manipulate this. And where do they come from? They come from the seven master, the seven heads of the seven super universe, the master spirits, right? And all the personnel, right? Makes sense?
All right. You know, so just reminds me of?
Pardon me?
You know, it just reminds me of?
What's that?
Computer programs.
Yeah.
Here we have, if you go into a computer program, okay?
Yeah.
If you compare this to what we're going through, the, I forgot who they were, but they set up the goo and the stuff and the material stuff. They bring that the in.
Primordial matters. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff. Okay. They got it set there right before you. Okay. And then you want to use this program. Okay. This primordial matter program.
Right.
And you come in and then you make your human beings and your animals and your trees.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay, just like you would do like with a program where you wanted to have a word program where it does spell a check and then grammar check.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot like that. Everything fits together, right?
Yeah.
It so, sets everything up and then you use what it sets up, right?
Yeah. And so it basically kind of like God the Father has got all this stuff organized. Okay. Here's your parameters and here's what you can do, you know, son. So I've got you under control, but you're on your own.
Right. I got you. Okay. So let's go on to the next. Gary, would you take the next paragraph?
These power directors and energy controllers who long preceded the creator son in the preliminary physical work of universe organization later serve in magnificent liaison with this universe sun, forever remaining in associate control of those energies which they originally organized and circuitized,
yeah, that's right.
On Salvington, there now functions the same 100 power centers who cooperated with your creator son in the original formation of this local universe.
Okay, so what are they talking about circuitized? Here are the seven super universe circuits, and part of these circuits, you'll notice here, number one, one of them is the circuit of intercommunication with the Eternal Son and the Paradise Son. But the other is what? The flash presence of the Infinite Spirit that brings the Infinite Spirit in, right? It also, number seven down here, includes the energy circuits of the power centers and the physical controls. One of the seven circuits of the super universe. Make sense? Okay, so these beings use these circuits of energy and power and that sort of thing that's created by the unqualified absolute and all these power directors, master physical controllers, they use it within the circuits of the super universe. Okay. And I have some other slides in here that I stuck in here that kind of helps us, I hope. The power centers and the master physical controllers exert perfect control over 7 of the 10 forms of energy contained in each of the 3 universe circuits. And this is on page 324. What are they talking about? They're talking about this next little part down here. And this is from the Don Estes chart. They exercise control over 21 of the 30 phases of power and create matter. You see that? These are all the master physical controllers. The other thing I wanted to show you is these 3 down here. We have universe power, which is called gravita. Then we have gravity energy, which is ultimata, comes from paradise. And then we have puissant energy, and that's the primordial force, and this is called segregata. And you'll notice over to the left of this, it tells which beings control this stuff. Okay, for instance, the 7 supreme power directors can assume control of over 21 of the 30 phases of energy and direct energies into these 3 phases of 10 segments each. So there's 30 different phases of power, and they only use 7 out of 10 of them. Okay. Another interesting point to this is what? First of all, how many types of power do we have?
3.
Tell me can you tell me the 3?
Well, I mean, we've got 3 phases.
With 3 phases of power. You see, he's coming from an electrician. Yeah. I'm talking about, we have electronic energy, right? And we have magnetic energy. And we know that if you use magnetic energy properly, like Tesla, we can create what? Regular energy, right? So that's 2 types of energy that we have right now. We know about. Pardon me?
What about gravity?
Gravity, that's right. That's the 3 types, right? That we know about. That's all we know about, right? Now, think about this.
No, 4.
Huh?
Or no, 4. Nuclear. Huh? Nuclear. What?
Nuclear power? That's electronic power. That's just same as electrons, electronic power, right? That derives from electricity. It's the basis for electronic power. You follow me?
Yeah, I see your logic. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I see your logic.
Well, you don't have to. That's okay. That's okay. You can call it the 4th part. The point is, there are at least 30 other phases of power that are to be discovered yet, right? That we don't know about. So we got, out of the 10 that we should know on this planet right now, we only know about 3, right? Or 4 if you want to include nuclear power as a separate power, right? Now we have other ways of creating power, like water power to create electricity, right? Magnetic power to create electricity, nuclear power to create electricity, solar power to create electricity, right? But they all come back to the same basis as electronic power, right? All right. But I wanted to bring up now the associated transcendental force organizers, employ the pressure and presence attention trends to cause puissant energy to respond to paradise gravity and gravity energy. There's a totally different energy right there, the gravity energy, right? But it's the associated force organizers that move the puissant energy around to make it responsive to gravity, all right? And then we have the primary eventuated master force organizers, and their presence transforms base potency into primordial force, and that action transforms force into puissant energy or nuclear subnebular vortexes, right?
And some is deifying that.
What, Gary?
Nuclear subordial vortex or something like that.
Yeah, that's the forces that create nebulae, basically, from Poisson energy. So they're the ones that start the nebulae going. Make sense?
No, because I don't know what nebulae means. Hold on.
The nebula is the stuff that the universes are made out of.
Stargas.
Primal forms.
Huh?
The primary form of whatever.
That's right. It's the primary form of everything that's created as far as universes go. And here's the breakdown of the master physical controllers and what they did. And we studied all this on the last paper, so I'm not going to go through that. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one? I know this is beating some of this stuff to death, but we're trying to understand it all, right? All right.
Okay, the first completed act of physical creation in Nevadon consisted in the organization of the headquarters world, the architectural sphere of Salvington, and its satellites. From the time of the initial moves of the power centers and physical controllers to the arrival of the living staff on the completed spheres of Salvington, there intervened a little over 1 billion years of your present planetary time. The construction of Salvington was immediately followed by the creation of 100 headquarters worlds of the projected constellations and the 10,000 headquarters spheres of the projected local systems of planetary control and administration, together with their architectural satellites. Such architectural worlds are designed to accommodate both physical and spiritual personalities, as well as the intervening Marantia or transition stages of beings.
Okay, so you're asking yourself, why did it take how much time?
1 billion years.
1 billion years, right? Think of this. Just Salvington has 490 satellites around it, just Salvington, okay? So they not only had to make Salvington, but all the satellites and all the little sub-satellites had to be created too, because they're what? They're all architectural spheres. Mm-hmm. Then they talked about the constellations, didn't they? All the headquarters of all the constellations and all the system headquarters. Guess what Jerusalem is? It's a system headquarters. What are the mansion worlds? They're the satellites of the system headquarters. You with me? So it not only had to develop the system headquarters, but they had to create all 7 of the mansion worlds and all 7 of the satellites that surround the mansion worlds. These are all architectural spheres. So 1 billion years is probably about right for everything.
So
right?
Was the stars and everything else pre-existing?
No, every single planet, every single nebulae, every single thing of matter, Gary, had to be created. That's right.
So he started with a blank slate.
He started with the blank slate, a plan from the master architects, and then the power directors came and tried to start the matter going so it can be manipulated, right?
Roger?
Yeah.
The material that the architectural worlds or spheres were made of was directly from the Poisson energy within Nebadon for hours.
Right. Yeah, for hours. Right.
So, like, we had never determined where Michael and the spirit was at this time while the architectural worlds were being built.
Yeah.
Did they come after they were built?
No, they came during, while they were being built, because remember, the local universe mother spirit, Rodney, is a presence.
Be here.
She had to be there. Yeah, yeah, I mean, she permeates everything, just kind of like God the Father permeates everything, right? The infinite spirit does also, but the infinite spirit's daughters do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, as we're going to find out, the creator sons, during the early manipulation of the matter and Nebadon to build all the planets, he had to be at the center point of existence for that local universe. He could not leave. She could not leave. The focal point of that local universe is the center, which is the capital, right? So regardless of whether they had a place to physically be or anything else, they had to be the center of it all the time until the structures were built. At least both of them then, and then Michael, in order for his physical body, his spiritual physical body, eventually had to have a place to live, and that would be the main satellite, which would be Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem, Southington, right? All right, now, I got one slide. Huh?
They must have had a camper.
Must have, I don't know. I got one slide that talks about the three types of sons of God. First, of course, is the Danels, which are the teacher sons, right? These are paradise sons. And then we have the Avonals, which are the magisterial son. Notice the big D's for the Danels and A's for the Avonals. Those are the magisterial sons. And then, of course, we had the Michael, creator sons, one for each local universe, right? And it talks about the numbers on the other in that slide above. But the next paragraph in this picture I want to show y'all. All right, let's take this. Letch, would you take the next one? The Salvington headquarters?
Okay. Salvington, the headquarters of Nebadon, is situated at the exact energy mass center of the local universe. But your local universe is not a single astronomic system, though through a large system that does exist at its physical center.
Okay, so Salvington has multiple astronomic systems involved in it, okay? But the center of all of these is the exact center is in all of these is Salvington, which is the first architectural sphere they built, okay? Then notice around it, there are 490 worlds that surround Salvington, okay? And you'll notice about every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I think it's 10 worlds. Each one of these worlds are worlds for different types of beings and their satellites. So if you look at the labels that go around this, it says the pilot world of Melchizedek, the very first one they built, right? And then you have the 10 Melchizedek worlds, and then you have the tributary spheres that go around these, and there's 7 each, just like there are in the local system, right? All right, and then you have the Verondadec worlds and the Lanananadec worlds. You recognize that name? The Verondadecs are the most highs of the constellations. And then the Lanananadecs are the system sovereigns and the planetary princes. Remember that? Then we have the life carrier worlds, and they have their own worlds because the life carrier is a separate group that instills life on all these planets, right? And then we have the worlds of the finaliters. That's what we'll end up being sooner or later, right? And then there's the worlds of the archangels. And then there's the worlds of the spirit fused mortals. See that? And then the worlds of the seraphim. And last but not least is the worlds of the midwayer. So all seven types of beings that the local universe mother spirit and Jesus or Michael created each have their own worlds they go to. Make sense? And these are all architectural spheres just like we will have. All right. Notice here they list the sun fused mortals separate from the worlds of the finaliter. Why is that? Because the sun fused mortals are usually permanent residents, where the worlds of the finaliters, they will be temporary until they get a new assignment, right? Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read one more paragraph, and we're going to talk about this being in the center again. Millie, would you take the next one? Salvington is the personal headquarters?
Salvington is the personal headquarters of the Michael of Nebadon. But what? Salvington is the personal headquarters of Michael of Nebadon, but he will no longer requires the fixed presence of the Creator's Son.
No, you skipped the sentence there, Billy, but he will not always be found there.
Salvington is the personal headquarters of Michael of Nebadon, but he will not always be found there. While the smooth functioning of your local universe no longer requires the fixed presence of the Creator, Son, at the capital sphere, this was not true of the earlier epochs of physical organization. A Creator Son is unable to leave his headquarters world until such a time as gravity stabilization of the realm has been effected through the materialization of sufficient energy to enable the various circuits and systems to counterbalance one another by mutual material attraction.
Okay, why is this important?
Because if he left and going on vacation and one of the systems wasn't in perfect balance, we would have a catastrophe. We would be like
a collapse of the universe.
Huh?
That it would be collapse the universe, right? So the earlier epics, it required the presence of Michael himself and the local universe mother spirit at the very center of the local universe constantly. He literally stabilized the gravity and the matter that's coming from the various circuits. He stabilized this and counterbalanced all these things together during this material, what would you call, evolution of the planets, the gravity systems, the nebulae, and all this stuff coming together. So he could not move from that center. You with me? So you ask yourself, why do they call Michael the God of the local universe? You get it now?
Yeah, he made it.
He made it. That's right.
You know, right? Just thinking about this paragraph, okay, if you think about this, and we on Earth are worried about asteroids coming to destroy us and all that stuff.
Right.
Michael won't allow it to happen.
Bingo. This is the planet of the cross, remember? The planet of the cross is the jewel of the local universe. Why do I say that? Because it's the final epic of the seven bestowals on Michael took place on this planet. Do you think they're going to let this planet get destroyed?
No.
Don't think so.
Michael has sentimental value.
Yeah, exactly. This is where he finished his bestowals. I'm surprised they let us run the governments the way it's being run right now, because, you know, you think about it, it's not always good for what's best for the planet. I'm surprised they hadn't stepped in and said, hey, y'all need to straighten yourselves out. You know, I really am. But that's my whole point about this. I'm not worried about this planet being destroyed. And if it was, what would happen to us? We would be moved somewhere else immediately, right? Okay, so he controlled the circuits and counterbalanced everything so that the mutual attraction between all the planets and all the material stayed in check. All right, let's go to the next one. Jane, are you out there? We don't see your picture tonight, but I see your thing.
She's muted.
She's muted. Hello, Jane, you out there? She may not be able to make, she may be having computer problems. Yeah. Well, in that case, sweetie, you want to take the next one?
Presently, the physical plan of the universe is completed, and the Creator Son, in association with the Creative Spirit, projects his plan of life creation. Whereupon does this representation of the Infinite Spirit begin her universe function as a distinct creative personality? When the first creative act of formulated and executed, there springs into being the bright and morning star, the personification of this initial creative concept of identity and ideal of divinity. This is the chief executive of the universe, the personal associate of the Creator Son, one like him in all aspects of character, though markedly limited in the attributes of divinity.
Let me unmute. I have a mystery for y'all. All the angelic personnel are female. You know that, right? All of the angels. All of them. Makes you wonder about Gabriel, doesn't it? Because it says Gabriel is the personal associate of the Creator Son, one like him in all aspects of a character. Now, Michael is of male persuasion, is he not?
Yes.
So maybe Gabriel is the exception in this. I don't know. But we know, we've been told that all the angelic core are female, right? So it's a mystery. But the other thing I wanted to mention about this paragraph, it says the physical plan of the universe is complete. So the plan's complete, it's just the universe is not complete. They know what they're going to do. They know how many planets they're going to make. They know pretty much what has to be done, but we're not even close to being finished, are we? So we got a long way to go. So the first act the local universe Mother Spirit and Michael did together was to create the bright morning star, which is Gabriel, right? And we'll just leave the question about what type of being he is the way it is. All right. Let's try Jane again. Jane, are you out there?
I'm okay now. I've had a lot of problems. I apologize.
Oh, no, don't. But that's fine. Would you like to read the next paragraph for us?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
And now that the right-hand helper and chief executive of the Creator Son has been provided, there ensues the bringing into existence of a vast and wonderful array of diverse creatures. The sons and daughters of the local universe are forthcoming, and soon thereafter, the government of such a creation is provided, extending from the supreme councils of the universe to the fathers of the constellations and the sovereigns of the local systems, the aggregations of those worlds which are designed subsequently to become the homes of the varied mortal races of will creatures. And each of these worlds will be presided over by a planetary prince.
Okay, I want to bring something up here that people are not going to like, but I'm going to say it anyway. when all these beings were created, and we're talking about, let me go back up. Y'all remember where we are, 32.27. When all these Virandadex sons, Lananandex, life carriers, the archangels, we have to assume archangels are females, right? And the seraphim, we know all the seraphim are females, right?
And the Melchizedek.
And you would assume that they, the way they talk about them, they're male, right? And you would assume the Virandadex and the Lananandex are male, wouldn't you? Because of the way they talk about them. All right. So where's the female influence come in other than the seraphim and the archangels and the evening stars? The evening stars would be female, right? How about the material sons and daughters? They don't have their own separate world because why? They are stationed on the Audientia and headquarters of the constellations, right? So you not only have Adams, you have Eves also. And when an Adam and Eve is trained to go out to a planet for the help the biological uplifting and help administer the planet, they go out in pairs, do they not?
Mm-hmm.
Male and a male, right?
A male and a female.
A male and a female. So all the administration of all the local universe is what? Both.
Male and female.
Male and female, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Equally. That's the point I wanted to make. All right. Because we would think of if the bright and morning star is male, if Gabriel is male, and all the evening stars are female, it goes back to the same angelic thing of all the angels being a female. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just wanted to make that point. So it's equal. Yes.
Yeah. It's a curiosity, really, more than a formulated question.
Yeah.
I'm thinking as you're explaining this, that the mother spirit came into existence after, I'm going to say a time, even though time is the wrong word. It after the Trinity, like after. I'm thinking... When it comes to, let's say, the local universe and perhaps even Havona, we mm-hmm. may still have male and female. But when we get to paradise, those who do get to paradise,
yeah,
Trinity oriented, then would they all be male?
No.
If they advance that far?
No. It would be exactly like paradise would be exactly like the local universes, because the local universes, Jane, are fashioned after paradise. They're mimicking paradise. So that is probably why we have male and female, because in paradise, there's males and females. You follow me?
Okay. No, I was only thinking in the line that the Trinity, they're all, is the infinite spirit considered female?
Oh, wait a second. I got a question.
Let me
respond to her on the, is the infinite spirit female? The infinite spirit, like the sun, okay? Well, I'm really going to get in trouble for this
you
one.
You are, because...
Okay, forget my question, Roger.
Jane, it needs to be addressed. They call the eternal sun the mother of the universe.
Right.
So the eternal sun is both a sun, male, and a female mother. Right.
Okay. Right.
The infinite spirit, they call him throughout the book. Right. But the infinite spirit is the mother of all support personnel and all the angelic cores, right? So the infinite spirit has to be what? male.
Balaam female.
And female.
Yes, right? Yes.
All right, I'm going to insult everybody now. I'm going to get right on top of it, right? So what does that make God the Father?
Male and female, I guess.
Has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He has to have the initiative, the beginnings of all creation. So that would mean he has a male side and a female. But they call him the universal father, don't they? Right?
Yeah.
Because that's his dominant characteristic. He's the father of the universe, right? But what is the infinite spirit dominant? The mother of the universe, along with the eternal son, who is a mixture of both the father and mother of the universe. Make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. So, Roger, you have to be a father to create a mother.
You have to be a father to create a mother. You have to. We just read it. There was a quote out of this morning about how every mortal has to rear children at some time in their career, mm-hmm. because you have to have that parenting tendencies learned before you can get out of the mansion worlds and you get to the local system, out of the into the constellations, really. So all males have to learn how to be fathers. All females have to learn how to be mothers. And it's vice versa, because if you're a good father, you're a good mother too.
Right? Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Am I a good mother?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah. Ask your kitties.
That's right. Ask my kitties if I'm a good mother and a good
am I a good father?
Are there any beings that are sexless at all, like power directors?
Yes. Yes, there are, Letch, but I couldn't tell you which ones are. I really couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
But I know there are. They talk about this some in the book in different places where they call them non-sex creatures, right? If you're a non-sex creature, you wouldn't have a male or female tendency, right? But we evolved from sex creatures, animals, really. And so as long as you evolve from a sex creature, you'll always retain that sex of that, whatever you came from, right? So
can I get you out of trouble there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here's my thinking, okay? After we leave this world, there's no sex.
Well, not in the physical, not in the physical sense, right?
Yeah. Okay. We still maintain I'm going to be a male. And
yeah.
Okay.
Well, and they talk about creating things. You know, I mean, even the Caligasta 100, when they came to the planet, when they had a union and created the midwares, it was a non-sex union. That's why I say that. So to have a non-sex union, what would you call that? A mental union, emotional union, a combination of the two?
I don't know, but you messed me up.
Huh?
You're messing me up with that one. But what my logic was is we leave the sexual act behind here.
We do.
Yeah. Okay. And we go on in our next body. We don't have the whatever, you know, the equivalent desires, etc.
Right.
And we go into a more spiritual plane.
Right.
And as we evolve upward, I think we lose our sexuality and became more personalities, with the personality being the dominant over the sexual identity.
Well, that's true. That's true, Gary, but there is something we need to remember, that when you hit the mansion world, if you don't have a normal sex life on this planet, then you have to study under the material sons and daughters and catch up on what a normal sex life is. You have to know about it. And I don't know how they do that. Maybe your observation, maybe you become voyeurs. I don't know.
Maybe through intention. Maybe through desire.
Maybe so, Jane. I am not sure.
Maybe
but
we can connect telepathically.
Yeah, everyone has to understand that connection, that sexual connection between male and female. everyone. So if you don't get it on this planet, they straighten you up on the mansion worlds. And if you don't get straightened up on the mansion worlds, when you go to the system headquarters or the constellations, you study under the material sons and daughters, and they catch you, get you up to snuff on family, sexuality, all these things that you did not get as a mortal. Because many people don't, you know, there's a lot of people that go through life single and they just, you know, they're happy that way, right? And so when they get to the mansion worlds, they're going to have to experience raising children, having normal sexual relationship with someone, that sort of thing. They have to understand it, right? It's a basis of all creation, if you think about it. It really is. We think of it as a physical desire type thing, you know, animalistic thing. But in reality, without sex, we would not have reproduction on this planet, because we would be like some, you know, there are ocean creatures that do not have sex to reproduce. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many of the ocean creatures, the fathers are really the mothers. Okay. They have the creatures. So there's a lot of variation out there, and we can't possibly cover them all, but I'm sure we'll get to learn about it. That's for sure.
Those are the grumpy creatures.
The grumpy creatures. That's right.
I had a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Letch.
When physicists study, you know, the fundamentals of matter, and the breakdown of matter is broken down into thousands of different individual particles, but every individual particle has a counterpart.
Right.
Like antimatter and matter and electrons and positrons. It's kind of like the nature of the universe. It's no wonder there's male and female, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Everything's that way. They even discussed, Letch, I'll never forget this, because they discussed in angels, instead of calling them male and female because they're female tendencies, they are... positive and negative are complements and retirant. You know, in other words, one's dominant, one's retirant. In other words, there's like a positive and negative even in the angels, and that's why they serve in pairs, right? Yeah. The whole universe is built that way, you know?
Hmm. Makes sense.
It does. Boy, we got way off track.
And we study birds a lot because we play videos for our kitties. And it's you can always determine which bird is the male and which one's the female just by their behavior. Yeah.
And it's not always the female that's the pretty ones. It's usually the male that's the pretty ones. Yeah. So, okay, let's get one more paragraph in here. And then let's see who's up now. I think you are, Gary. Will you read that one paragraph for me?
Which one in now?
And then when the universe...
And then when such a universe has been so completely organized and so repletely manned, does the Creator Son enter into the Father's proposal to create mortal man in their divine image?
Okay, I want to come back to this. I think I skipped a paragraph there. And now that the right hand helper, did we read that?
No, we read that.
Did we? Okay. We did. Okay. Now it says the Creator Son enters into the Father's proposal to create mortal man in their divine image. What the heck are they talking about? Because we don't look like God. I can tell you that, right?
Oh, we don't?
No.
Oh.
We don't. What are they talking about here? They're talking about creating man so that he has a thought adjuster that he can fuse with. And when you fuse with that thought adjuster, it creates a start of a spiritual being. First the Marantia, then the spiritual. But the spiritual being is like whom? God the Father, God the Son, right? So the mortal man in the divine image means what? Means it created man with the capability of instilling an adjuster and doing what? Fusing. You with me?
With our soul.
and without our soul. That's right. We develop our soul with the adjuster, right? God gives us personality. He gives us the adjuster. He lets us experience this mortal upbringing. And in that process, we develop the start of a soul. Now, when we get to the mansion worlds, that soul and our personality and the adjuster all fuse together, and then we become what? A Marantia being or a citizen of the cosmos. That's why when we fuse, we get a brand new name, because we're a brand new citizen of the cosmos. Make sense? Did I lose everybody? Yeah, go ahead, Millie. No.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Millie.
I wonder if they just left some of that word off. Maybe into the Father's proposal to create mortal man in their divine imagination.
Yeah, that would work too. That would work. Yeah, I think image is fine, because what we're saying by image is we're a kind of a small picture of a divine being that we're going to develop into, right?
Oh, it would be a reflection.
That's how I see it, the reflection. Yeah. Because
As they say in the book over and over again, this world is a vestibule to our real world, right? So when we get to the mansion worlds and we fuse, we step into what? The real world, right? The cosmos. All right. So all the systems and constellations, all the councils have been set up, everything's been manned and given people to run it. And so we're ready to go there, right? Let's go to the next one, the organization of the planetary. Rodney, would you take that one?
Yes. The organization of planetary abodes is still progressing in Nebadon, for this universe is, indeed, a young cluster in the starry and planetary realms of Orvinton. At the last registry, there were 3,140,101 inhabited planets in Nebadon, and Stania, the local system of your world, is fairly typical of other systems.
So that's 3,840,101 out of what? 10 million, right? So we're about a third of the way there, right? Mm-hmm. So we have two thirds yet to go. All right. About out of time. Let me see here. I think I'm going to stop there, because we're going to be dividing this up in a bad place if it ain't. Okay. And let's take Satania 32.2 next time. We'll start from there. We didn't get very far, but we had a lot to talk about. So I'm glad we got as far as we did. This is making sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Is that a light bulb I see above your head, or is that just your bald head?
It's probably a fan, but
I'm just kidding. I was saying the light bulb came on.
But no, it seems to, if you take a step back and kind of look at it in a worldly perspective, as if you were doing it, okay, it does make sense. I mean, how?
It's perfect sense, doesn't it?
How everything comes together, and it just seems like it's becoming common sense. Yeah, I mean,
it is, Gary. You know, I'll never forget when I first started reading the book, I was trying to disprove it being a nice Baptist preacher. You know, nothing was, if it wasn't in the Bible, it wasn't true, you know. And when I started reading this book, after about 3-6 months reading, I kept saying to myself, man, if this is not true, it sure should be, you know. And that's the opinion you get of it. The more you read it, the more it makes sense, and the more you think, the light bulb comes on, right? The big light.
Gotta be this way.
Gotta be this way. How else could it be, right? Yeah. You know, no one would ever convince me that it's not true. Not in a million years now. Now, when I first started reading it, you know, I was a nice Southern Baptist boy that, you know, it had to be of the devil because I never heard of it before. Nobody ever I talked to ever heard of it, you know. So if it wasn't in the Bible, it couldn't be true. That's the way I felt. And boy, was I stupid. You know, that's just all there was to it. You know what I keep saying, though? I call myself ignorant because I keep saying you can't fix stupid. You can fix ignorance. You can train yourself and learn, but you can't fix stupidity. So, all right. Let's quit for tonight, and we'll take it up from there next time. Dear, would you like to pray tonight?
Dearest Heavenly Father, Mother Spirit, we thank you so much for this opportunity to study, to gather together and study this amazing book of truth and expanding our consciousness and preparing us for the a wonderful adventure. And we are just so grateful to be able to learn and grow exponentially. And we thank you so much, and help us to keep our minds clear and filled with the thoughts and the understanding that we are learning daily as we study. Thank you for helping us through the difficult times when we are doubtful with our world situation and have issues, and we have to keep this book in mind. We have to remember everything that we're learning. It is in your name, Christ Michael of Nebadon, that we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
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 Roger, you're muted.
I was just saying thank you all from from home that listened to us. Please come see us again, Facebook and YouTube and Vimeo and all those other places that listen to us. Y'all have a great night. See you next time. Stop the live stream. Stop the recording.
Bye-bye.